Well, I was a college student in Connecticut in the mid-70s. This was a period of time of the energy crisis, and I was studying environmental science and learning about energy, and this concluded that nuclear power was a bad idea. And I also was interested in nonviolence and heard about these demonstrations taking place at Seabrook, where nonviolent civil disobedience was being applied to the struggle to stop nuclear power. And I just said, that's where I've got to be. So I went to my first demonstration at Seabrook in October of 1976 and ended up deciding to organize my campus for the mass demonstration, which took place the following spring, April 30th and May 1st, where I was one of 1,415 people arrested at Seabrook, taken on a National Guard truck to the Concord National Guard Armory, where I spent 2 weeks incarcerated with a couple hundred good friends. That was my first trip to Concord. And then later on, I took a position working as a member of the Office Collective in Portsmouth and moved to Portsmouth in November of 78 and worked there in the office for about a year. You know, of course, when this started, the people who were going and protesting and getting arrested were seen as pretty insignificant. I mean, before the No Nukes movement took off in the 70s, most people in this country thought nuclear power was a good idea, or if they thought about it at all, or just kind of took it for granted. We had been told it's the next big thing, it's technology, it's good. I mean, I remember being in 8th grade science class learning how a nuclear reactor works, and it wasn't like there was any question about was this a good thing or a bad thing. It was just, this is the thing. This is the future. This is technology. This is progress. So to change that equation required a mass movement of people. So that by 78, there were No Nukes groups all over the country. And by 1979, when the Three Mile Island reactor in Pennsylvania actually had a meltdown, something the nuclear industry had previously said could not even happen. And there it was, it happened, what we had been warning about. And all of a sudden, that drove it home for people. So I remember being in the office at this time, and people from the mainstream media, you know, the TV networks, the big newspapers, the wire services are calling up and asking us for our opinion about Three Mile Island. And I remember getting interviewed, I believe it was by the UPI, United Press International, the rival wire service to the AP. It doesn't really exist anymore, but ended up being having a quote from me counterposed with statements by Edward Teller, the father of the H-bomb, and a big booster of nuclear power. So it's like here we have Edward Teller's comments about Three Mile Island, and here we have Arnie Alpert. And in a sense, that's indicative of how we had been able to crack through the barrier of the mainstream media and of public consciousness through a mass nonviolent movement that was based on people power, not based on money power, not based on advertising, not based on lobbyists, but based on people all over the country taking a stand and sometimes taking a stand which got them sent to jail. I think one of the things that I learned, and this really comes out of the nonviolent tradition as much as anything else, while in a sense it was zany and anarchic and, you know, drew from the kind of the yippie tradition as much as it drew from, you know, Martin Luther King or from Daniel Berrigan in terms of where it came from or from the labor movement, but that we were able to make a connection with ordinary people. We were able, even if we were getting hauled off to jail and some of us had long hair and ate granola or whatever, we were able to speak a language that people understood. We were able to make connections with people, and we didn't write people off. We never assumed that because of what somebody looked like, because of their class background, because of where they live, because of their political party affiliation, that they would be or that they should be in favor of nuclear power. We didn't give up on anybody. We believed that every interaction with another person was an opportunity to talk about the issues and to try to communicate with them about what we believed was important. And I think it's important, even if you have a message that is fundamentally radical, it's important for us to try to figure out how to relate that message to people who are not in the same place. I'm convinced, you know, that most people are against war. Most people would rather have their energy come from the sun than from a type of technology that is tied to the production of nuclear weapons. I believe that most people would rather see conflicts resolved peacefully rather than through guns and bombs. And if we can find a way to help people figure out how to use their own voices to make those things happen that most people are going to be willing to come along. And that's the challenge for organizers, is to make that happen, not to blame people for not being in the same place we are.